Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain. Unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today.
Hey there, I'm Sister Catherine Herms, the author of Surviving Depression and Reclaim Regret, How God Heals Life's Disappointments, as well as the Just a Minute Meditations for Inner Peace and Deeper Trust. And I'm here today with Jeanette. And
I'm
we're
going to
be talking about...
We're going to be talking about taking your spiritual temperature. You know, when you're not feeling well in life, you take your physical temperature. And a lot of people recently have been talking about feeling some spiritual malaise. So I thought it'd be great to have a conversation about just that, taking your spiritual temperature.
So it's super to be here today with you, Jeanette, and also with you all to spend the next few moments reflecting on this wonderful topic as we are beginning Lent.
Well, it's especially great to do in Lent because it's what a lot of people do anyway. You know, you're talking about thinking about, am I being devotional enough? Do I pray enough? Should I add some prayer in? Should I go to Mass extra? All these things are questions that we think of in Lent anyway.
And they're really important decisions that we make about our lives. We kind of all joke about the chocolate in Lent. There is the traditional, I will not eat chocolate for the rest of Lent.
So that I can lose 4 pounds.
But actually, I think all of us are really led forward by this deeper desire for spiritual growth, spiritual health, spiritual maturity. And I think a lot of this spiritual temperature taking that happens at the beginning of Lent, which kind of shows through our resolutions, our decisions, is all about really that deeper desire.
Absolutely. And it's kind of looking at a baseline. Where am I right now? And where do I want to be? What do I want to have felt by the end of Lent? What kind of person do I want to be going into Easter?
And sometimes, as you said about the chocolate, it can be about I need to lose 4 pounds. Or even deeper, it could be I need to be this type of a Christian, or I don't like the way I am and I want to appear this other way. And spiritual temperature taking is really about what is really going on deeper than those decisions to become better appearing.
Because those are really all about me. I want to be a better Christian. I want to lose 4 pounds. Mm-hmm. I want people to look at me and think how wonderful I am. That's all about me. And really the point of Lent and Holy Week and Easter is for it to not be about me.
Right. So going back to the idea of spiritual temperature taking, when I go to take my temperature, there's usually a reason.
There are symptoms.
So what are some of the symptoms that are around today in Christians that might lead them to see a deeper reason why they want to take their spiritual temperature, to pull out that thermometer this mm-hmm. Lent? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think this year in particular, and I think probably one could say that about a lot of different years, but the one that we're experiencing now, I'm seeing a lot of people who have some very strong feelings of anger, feeling uncertain about the future, feeling afraid, feeling disillusioned.
It's like a general malaise.
Absolutely. This general malaise.
You don't know what's going to happen in the future. You don't quite know what's going to be happening tomorrow in the world. You feel kind of powerless.
You're stuck. You're really very stuck there, yeah.
And when things are changing so quickly and the news that's coming out in various channels changing every day, mm-hmm. it can make you feel really down, really depressed.
And I think that's true for everyone. I think that's on a sort of societal level as well as a personal mm-hmm. one. But to go back to a personal one, if we put that in the context of us as Catholics, mm-hmm. That really is telling us something even deeper than just, oh, I'm angry about what's going on in the world. No, that there's more than that, because in some ways, as Catholics, when we allow that kind of disillusionment and anger and fear to enter our lives, we're opening a door to something that's really a very negative force.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard people say they just can't pray anymore.
Exactly.
There's this level of distrust mm-hmm. that really is affecting people's spiritual lives. And not that I think they make a decision out of it.
No.
It's just this beginning of disintegration or falling apart of something that meant so much to them, that was such a comfort and a strength. But at this point, something seems to be happening that they no longer can really trust in that to be there for them.
And the world isn't helping. You hear people saying, how can you believe in God when so many terrible things are happening?
Yes.
And normally, we always have an answer for that, but I think these days it's becoming more and more difficult mm-hmm. to bring that answer to the mm-hmm. fore, because you're also wondering, who do I trust? Do I trust a mm-hmm. God mm-hmm. in all of this? So mm-hmm. I think that really mm-hmm. talking about how these realities affect us, mm-hmm. not just as people, but as Catholics, is really mm-hmm. important.
I mean, we feel put on the spot sometimes to have to defend our choices or our religious beliefs, devotion, mm-hmm. decisions, the communities we belong to. So if we don't trust God maybe the way we used to before, we can find it sometimes meaningless to go to Mass, easier to skip going to Mass.
That's exactly
it. We have all the reason why we shouldn't have to go to Mass. Mm-hmm. Things start to unravel.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people saying they worry a lot about their children's future, that they're mm-hmm. not necessarily mm-hmm. trusting in the mm-hmm. same way that they used to, mm-hmm. About what's going to happen once they die and mm-hmm. and their children and their grandchildren mm-hmm. move on. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, there's just a feeling of such inadequacy and helplessness. And you go to Mass, or you mm-hmm. go and sit in the church, and you turn to God, and there's silence.
Yeah,
and
people feel like morally and spiritually exhausted.
Exactly.
Because you're wondering, am I praying incorrectly? Is it me? Have I done something?
Right.
Where is this voice of God that connected with me in such a beautiful way before? Mm-hmm. And right now it's not there.
And I want to come back to something you just said earlier about the news. And for me, that there's this disconnect between the kind of spiritual life that we have, where you can go and you can sit for an hour and you can be in prayer or meditation, and you come out and four more news things have come up in that 1 hour you're in church. Mm-hmm. There's this speed of things coming at us that we don't really have time not just to assimilate psychologically, but to assimilate spiritually. You feel like you come out of church, you hear the news, you want to go right back in because everything has changed.
And you don't know how much of that news is true.
Exactly.
You don't know where the facts really are. Yeah. And for me personally, that can be such a difficult thing, because it's not only that you're left with a terrible thing that may be reported in the news, you don't even know if it's real, mm-hmm. or what parts of it are real, or how much spin has been put on it. And so when there's this presence of lies, that affects us in a very profound way. We're in the presence of something that's really not good sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've been thinking about lately, and I know you and I have been talking about it, is that this part of it, obviously the news cycle and so on is new to our generation. But if we read Ignatius, for example, St. Ignatius, there's always been this sort of cycle of faith of, I really believe today, and oh, tomorrow, it's sort of like you go up on this mountain and you come down again, and there's this sense of it not always being steady. And he talks about that some, which gives me some faith and hope, because we're not the first ones to experience that.
He uses the image of waves.
Right, exactly.
Waves.
Yes.
A lot of times, I used to think like the spiritual life should be one straight line.
Right.
There's a quote from John Vianney, go straight to God like a cannonball. Well, a cannonball's got to go straight. It doesn't waver to the right or to the left. It just goes. And, so I had this idea that it was just one straight line and you kept going
nice?
And got better
Wouldn't
and better
be nice?
All the way. progress is supposed to be like that. Scientific progress, there's this promise that everything will progress and get better and better and better. And that unwittingly gets applied to the spiritual life. But Ignatius, he speaks of our spiritual life as something that happens in waves.
Right.
And it goes up and it goes down in valleys. It goes up and it goes down. And he even has a whole spiritual instructing on how to live in the ups and how to live in the downs.
Well, let's talk some about that, because I know that St. Ignatius has some very specific language around it, but I think that that's exactly the core of what we need to do to respond once we've taken our spiritual temperature and found maybe that it's not doing so great, that maybe it's a little too high, to use the analogy, but to look at sort of these two areas of being up on the top of the wave and then being down in the valley as spiritual desolation and spiritual consolation.
Mm-hmm. Well, for one thing, spiritual consolation being on the higher part of the wave, when that happens, you all can recognize this, we experience ourselves as being close to God, or that God is close to us. There is a sense of God's presence. There is a sense of being held and loved by Him. So it could happen that you go in, maybe you make the hour of adoration, Eucharistic adoration in your parish, and you go for this hour, and it's just so beautiful.
And you feel warm.
You feel warm.
You feel like reaching out to others and goodness
yes.
and kindness.
You come out, and there's something you want to be.
Right.
Something has shifted inside of you. It's a beautiful experience.
And you feel certainty. You go in and you come out with this sort of certainty of the top of the wave, where you felt close to God, you felt God reach you, and everything else can take a second seat to it, because it is what's happening to you.
Right. It's almost like an inner vision.
Right.
Not a vision, but you have this inner vision of what's true
yes.
and what's real. It's a sense of balance and inspiration. And you see where God is active in your life
right.
or in the world. You read a psalm, you read something from scriptures, and you begin, it's almost like an eye gets opened or a door or window gets opened. And at that place, you begin to see how God is active in this world. It releases almost a new energy in
us. It does.
A new energy for beauty and goodness and truth.
And it's both a state of being and a feeling. And I think the problem mm-hmm. is that we get carried away with the feeling part.
Mm-hmm.
That it's almost a high, you know. Everything is wonderful. I feel in love with God. Everything is good. And the reality mm-hmm. is, as we all know, you can't stay in a mm-hmm. feeling like that. And we mistake the feeling then for the reality of God's presence in our lives.
Yes, because we can have a spiritually consoling experience even when we're sad.
Right.
Even when things are difficult, even when we have to make a difficult decision. And in that space, spiritual consolation may look like a deeper trust, a deeper awareness of God being beside you and walking and carrying his cross with you. There's this deeper sense of peace. And I think what you bring up is a really powerful thing, because we can mistake the excitement of something great and wonderful for spiritual consolations.
Right.
So we have this bubbly feeling and
kumbaya,
things are going
kumbaya.
Right. Kumbaya, this bubbly feeling of excitement and joy and happiness. But when you press below all the bubbles, there is this emptiness. So spiritual consolation is that place where the joy is actually being generated, the warmth, the connecting with God is being generated by his presence and our desire, willingness, and love to be in that presence and to believe in that presence no matter what is happening.
And on the other hand, there are the moments when we're down at the bottom of the wave and that we are mm-hmm. in a sense of spiritual mm-hmm. desolation, mm-hmm. which is, I think, what a lot of people may be confusing their feelings right now mm-hmm. for desolation, mm-hmm. which isn't mm-hmm. quite the same thing. I mean, I think one of the things that you need to think about when you're looking at the two of them is that desolation is always going to be isolating.
Mm-hmm.
That it's going to isolate you from God. It's going to isolate you from other mm-hmm. people and your community. But it's also going to isolate you from your truest, best self.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's a difference between spiritual desolation.
Right.
And desolation.
Right, and emotional
yes.
desolation,
yes.
for sure.
So I can be really depressed about what's happening
right.
in the world or in my life right now. It could just be a depression. I could mm-hmm. still be living in faith and trust. I could still believe that God is near me no matter what happens, and yet be psychologically depressed.
Right.
I think...
And you wrote a book about it, so we know you know.
But I think part of what may be kind of happening in the world today is that it's a little more than that. We are almost living through this spiritual dark night of the soul, which fair does enough. Show in these psychological, physical, mental, emotional experiences of depression, of discouragement,
of
powerlessness,
up.
Of wanting to give up. But there is this other angle of it, which is almost a little sinister, where there's a little voice inside of us that's saying, God isn't here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing you can do can make a difference. It doesn't bother. There's no bother reason to pray right now. God doesn't love me. God won't help me. You know, so there's that bringing together of God is distant and does not love me, together with the experiences that are just desolating and depressing.
Right. Right.
So he also has... In his spiritual instructions, you can find these in the spiritual exercises.
We're back to St. Ignatius here, yeah.
Yes, he has so what do you do when you're on the top
right.
in consolation?
Fortunately,
and
he gives us directions.
He
gives us directions.
He's very clear, yes.
So in desolation, Ignatius says, first and foremost and always, tell God how you feel and ask for help. And that can
yes.
be really difficult for us.
Yeah, to speak directly
yes.
to God.
And say, I can't do this alone. I really need you. This is how I feel. I feel like you don't exist. I feel like you're not alive in the world. You can tell God any of those terrible things that you're thinking.
And that's so different from God doesn't love me. God
exactly.
is not here.
Exactly.
It's saying,
I need you.
You are not here. Yes. I cannot find you.
Right.
So you're reestablishing connection.
Relationship.
There.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I love the idea, too, that he tells you to go and speak with someone. Mm-hmm. So we can seek out a friend, a spiritual director, if we have a counselor that we can trust, a parent, whoever that might be. When we kind of expose what the evil spirits are generating within mm-hmm. us, they're like 50% less powerful.
Right.
We bring them to the light and they no longer have the power over us that they have had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that that's really consonant with the New Testament, which is constantly saying that you're not a Christian in isolation. Mm-hmm. You are part of a community mm-hmm. of faith. Mm-hmm. And to go and close yourself in your room may from time to time be a good thing to do. Mm-hmm. But in general, you are part of this community of faith mm-hmm. that is there to uphold you as you are there to uphold them. So mm-hmm. I think it's really important mm-hmm. that Ignatius is saying that it's not just about going to God and saying, help me, but it's also turning to others mm-hmm. and saying, help me. I need my community right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. And also when we're in that space of spiritual desolation, we can isolate ourselves, and we
exactly.
tend to want to make decisions that are
contrary. Usually bad decisions.
Yeah, that are contrary to what we may have resolved, decided in mm-hmm. spaces where we felt God's presence. So if you think back to a time when you felt God's presence and you said to God, you know, I love you and I really want to develop a more prayerful and trustful life in you, and you felt called maybe to go to Mass on Sunday or to say a prayer when the morning began. When you're in a state of spiritual desolation, your decisions are going to
never
be
mind.
The
I'm not
going
to go to Mass. I'm not going to pray anymore.
And those decisions are usually
right.
not inspired by God.
Exactly.
So we kind of have to stand still, talk to someone, get a little help, and remember what has been our inner map.
Right.
And I think journaling is so powerful in whatever way you want to do it.
Sister likes bullet journals, but you can do it differently.
Because it reminds mm-hmm. you of your inner path when you're in that bottom of the waves, mm-hmm. in the state of spiritual desolation. When you're in that space, a journal can remind you of
right.
the inner map that you and God are working out together.
Okay. And just as Sister really likes journaling and bullet journals, one of the things I like to do is visualization,
mm-hmm.
because I think that visualizing something mm-hmm. can help push you toward making it a mm-hmm. reality. The way I'm taking up Ignatius here is when you're in that desolation, to visualize what it was like when you were in consolation,
mm-hmm.
to go back to that in your imagination,
mm-hmm.
to remember it not just as a mental thing, but really try to visualize and with all your senses go back to that, and that helps your whole body in a sense with muscle memory and your brain and your soul and your heart to really reincorporate that sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is so powerful. You know, even as we go back at any point and we can remember a time when we really felt God's presence and we tell God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit how much we appreciate that other moment, we will begin to experience anew everything that surrounded that moment of presence
right.
in a new way. Another little trick or another little piece of advice.
Another Ignatian piece of advice,
yes, is to look around for someone else who needs your help.
Which goes back to our me thing for Lent. It's all about me. This is not all about me. This is also about someone else.
And as we said, that there is this general malaise, this general struggle where everybody in their own way is trying to find their way, really in a change of epoch. There's a tremendous change afoot in the whole world. Everybody in their own way is struggling. So turning around and looking for someone else that we can reach out to and maybe share something that has worked for us, take them out to coffee or whatever might help, that also begins to shift something within us.
And then, of course, the last bit of advice is to go back to number one, which was tell God how you feel and ask for help. Don't do it just once. Do it all throughout. Do it every day. Do it several times a day if you need to. Just go there and keep bringing it, because the more you isolate yourself from God, the longer this desolation is going to last. Mm-hmm. The best thing you can do is just keep bringing it, even if you're frustrated, even if you're embarrassed by what you're feeling, mm-hmm. or ashamed of what you're feeling, which can happen, mm-hmm. to just keep bringing it to God, whether you do it directly to God or whether you go to confession, to just keep getting it out. Because God is listening.
Mm. So what I'm thinking, Jeanette, is that the way to prepare for these times of spiritual desolation actually occurs in the moments of spiritual consolation. When we're riding on the top of the wave, you know, when we're praying and we feel warm, we feel God's presence, we feel safe, we feel protected, that is the moment to actually begin preparing for the times that will come when we won't feel those. And we don't always feel those for many reasons. Some are just part of the spiritual development. God wants us to love Him and not the feelings we get from being around Him. So as we see all through Scripture, He will take the feelings away, but it never means that He has gone away. And even in some lives, God comes closer. And in those moments when God comes closer to us, we begin to see things about ourselves that we did not see before. And we feel farther away. It's like when you take a big flashlight down into the basement that you haven't been into for a year, and you discover, oh, there is more to my house than all this nice stuff I had on the first floor, right, and the second floor. And so that's discouraging. I have to clean it up and et cetera, et cetera. But the beautiful thing is, as God comes close and we see these things about ourselves, it's only because the Holy Spirit is already active,
right,
in purifying, cleaning, consoling, and drawing us into this state of union.
Because otherwise we'd look at the basement and we'd say, so what? We wouldn't say, I need to clean. We'd say, so what? I don't ever go down there. I don't have to look. I don't have to know.
Right, right.
And the Holy Spirit is saying, you do have to know, mm-hmm. but we can work on it together. And the Holy Spirit is there picking up the mop along with us.
Right. And that's such a beautiful image. So in moments of consolation, some of the things you can do is to, you know, those that energy that comes from those beautiful moments of prayer and the sensing, that sensitivity to God's presence, is really to write down, to deepen those real profound desires of your soul and your life, of what you want for your life of union and companionship with God to be. To really, like write that down, to make that into an inner map that you can go back to and remember.
You can put in a journal, as Sister Catherine would say.
Yeah.
Well, also, and to get back to my visualization, mm-hmm. just to be so aware of the moments while you're in them, because it's so mm-hmm. easy to let them go. You're experiencing mm-hmm. it. It's wonderful. And then it's mm-hmm. over. Instead, you need to be thinking about, all right, how am I going to hold this in my heart and my mind for the future? How mm-hmm. am I going to be able to, essentially on a rainy day, on a spiritually rainy day, mm-hmm. come back to this mm-hmm. and have this moment enlighten mm-hmm. me and console me?
Mm-hmm.
And the way that you do that is by really being conscious of, I am in this wonderful space now, mm-hmm. and it's beautiful, mm-hmm. and let me keep it.
Yeah. It's almost like, Jesus, show me where you are right now.
Yes.
And what is that? When those moments come, we feel things even on a physical level. Mm-hmm. You know, our bodies feel the presence of God, the warmth, the joy, and we feel it in our heart. Our thoughts reflect it. We feel it on every level of our being, a full texture of that experience. And so just writing all of that down or committing it to our imagination.
Either way.
So we can return to it mm-hmm. is a very powerful experience. Mm-hmm. But also, even at that moment, to talk to God, to talk to Jesus, and tell them, this is what I appreciate about mm-hmm. this moment. Mm-hmm. And this is what I appreciate about you in my life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And just as in Desolation, Ignatius really, really emphasizes telling God how you feel and asking for help. In Consolation, you also mm-hmm. want to tell God how you feel. And instead of asking for help, you want to show gratitude and say thank mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. So right now, I am feeling so loved and so warm and so cared for. And I just want to say thank you for that, mm-hmm. To just keep that dialogue going. Because it's really easy to turn to someone when things are bad and help, 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 help. Mm-hmm. And now things are good, so I'm on my own, and you're mm-hmm. not. You never, ever. And I think that's the bottom line to all mm-hmm. of this, mm-hmm. is that we are never, ever on our own. Even when we feel like we are, mm-hmm. God mm-hmm. is still there. God is still reaching to us.
Mm-hmm. I think spiritual consolation also brings clarity. Mm-hmm. You know, it's in times of spiritual desolation that we hear these voices, I'm inadequate to address these problems on my own. God doesn't care about me. I'm exhausted. There's no hope for me. So in moments of spiritual consolation, all of a sudden there's a shift, and those voices are kind of shifted to the background, and the clarity that comes is something really important to write down. God is with me. There is a way through this, and now I see I need to do X, Y, and Z, or so-and-so can help me. So to really document, in a sense, those moments of clarity, yeah. new ideas, inspiration, balance.
Take some Post-it notes and put them around your house. God loves you. It's pretty simple. It's pretty direct, mm-hmm. but it's a good reminder. Put it next to your bed. Mm-hmm. Put little Post-it notes that remind you that you are loved. You are in God's mm-hmm. hands mm-hmm. always, no matter what's going on outside mm-hmm. or inside, for that matter. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I think this is a good place to stop. I think in our next presentation, in our next conversation together, mm-hmm. we're going to be actually adding on or going deeper mm-hmm. into this conversation of really beginning to tease out these voices that right. we have within us and how we can find a way forward to intentionally live in the good spirits, the voices of the good spirits.
But I also do want to say before we close this one out that if this is something that appeals to you or is interesting to you, reading about St. Ignatius or reading indeed some of St. Ignatius' work might be something you want to take on this Lent. Often we look for a spiritual reading during Lent, and that might be a place for people to start.
Very good, very good. Well, thank you, Jeanette, for this conversation.
It's been a pleasure,
energetic as ever. And if you'd like more, I invite you to find my Facebook group, Sister Catherine Herms, and it's a private Facebook group that you can join where we have more of these conversations. And also, you can become a member of my Patreon account, and there's a lot of other resources there that are available to you. So may you have a blessed day. God bless.
God bless
and
you
we'll
all.
See you soon.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. www.catholicsingles.com/podcast.